Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the home of the Greg Hill Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
This hour of Gresham Keefe brought to you by Dana Farber, Brigham and Women's Cancer Center.
Like the show, then tell a friend. Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Luka off a Powell screen. Driving kick, corner three. Dallas on the board thanks to KP. Leaves for Porzingis. One dribble, got way closer to the basket with that one dribble to gather. Step forward and score. When you said nice find, as Porzingis puts up a three and drains in a deep one. Porzingis reading it. Oh, look at that. He knew it. As you always say, Harp. Porzingis, the step back. That's the way to end the first half for KP and for the Mavericks. 3-2 defenders.
Oh, nice.
Porzingis from Hardaway. A great drive, a fantastic pass, and a thunderous finish.
We've talked about Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard. What about old Porky Porzingis down in Dallas? Keith and I are going to get into that here. Are any of these guys in play for the Celtics? Celtics offseason targets as teams get eliminated in the playoffs. More and more names come up. We also have our first coaching name to come up as well. 1102 Gresham Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com. Hello to the network stations in Providence, the Cape, Portland, Springfield, Keene, New Hampshire, and Worcester. And we've talked a lot about a bunch of guys, and Lillard and Beal are really the two that we've honed in on. I can't say this strongly enough. I want nothing to do with Kristaps Porzingis. And I got to be honest with you, Rich, 3 years ago, I was screaming that Danny Ainge didn't go get the guy because I thought he was really going to be the next big thing. And as we talked about him yesterday, he's a weird matchup. He's 7'2", but man, he ain't even as good as Ben Simmons.
He is not. I don't like Porzingis at all. I've never liked Porzingis. I think it's always been the idea of Porzingis. Like, look at this guy. Look how tall he is. Right. He can play on the outside, and he can dribble a little bit. And
He's a unicorn in a lot of ways.
And all this stuff. And so it wasn't really working with the Knicks. He's just so injury prone. Yeah. He's hurt all the time. And if you could guarantee that he plays 70 games, then you might consider it, but you just can't at all. So I wouldn't want to rely on Porzingis. He also has a monster contract because it wasn't going great with the Knicks. Dallas makes that trade. And remember, there was a ton of players involved in that deal. I think Dennis Smith was in that deal, another kind of failed lottery pick.
Right.
There's a first-round pick. There was a lot of moving parts in that trade. I think Tim Hardaway Jr. There's a lot going on in that trade.
A typical NBA trade.
It was huge, though. It was like four guys, all these picks. It was a huge swap. And then Dallas signs him to this big extension, hoping that Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis will be their 1-2 punch. Mm. And it's really just Doncic. Doncic is the man. He's maybe the best player in basketball. And Porzingis, again, you look at some of the numbers, and you're like, oh, well, he averaged, 20 points per game and, 9 rebounds. But you just can't rely on him. He's hurt all the time. I feel like even in the middle of games, all of a sudden Porzingis is out because he's dealing with something. I wouldn't want him at all. I think clearly, Kemba Walker's contract is terrible, but Porzingis' contract also not very good, and I wouldn't want him here.
Are you for the strategy of to get rid of a bad contract, bring back a bad contract, or are you just better off holding on to Kemba and trying to manage him versus bringing back someone that we're going to be like, oh, it's less money, but PU, he stinks too.
So if it was just hypothetically that switch, because again, I don't know if Dallas would have no interest in Kemba, right?
But just for the sake
of conversation, if it was Kemba for Porzingis, I would say I still wouldn't do it because Porzingis is under contract for longer. Like Kemba, you have guaranteed next year, and then it's a player option, which I assume you'll pick up the following year. So in 2 years, you're done with Kemba Walker, whereas Porzingis has two and then another player option. So you have an extra whole year of the $30, $33, $36 million that you'd be paying him, probably to not even play, probably to play half a year for you. So I don't think I would do that. I mean, Porzingis has more value than Kemba Walker. Right now, I mean, most do, but I don't want Porzingis.
What's interesting is that this team feels like they're built for a Doncic type player in that, let's just say in a weird world, right? Tatum for Doncic, and you put Doncic on this team with Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and all of the depth that Danny has tried to build. And
yeah,
like it feels like this group would be like Doncic would have more options to show off his skills with the way the Celtics are built versus the way Dallas is built, because they're so heavy into those two superstars. And if you're Dallas, you're never giving up Doncic. I completely understand that.
Yeah, he's untradeable.
But if the door is open for Porzingis, I don't know why you just don't say, hey, well, what about Brown and maybe somebody else? And yeah, like just throw it out
they're
there.
They're not doing that. They'd hang up immediately. That's the one thing that you can't
do. No one in the NBA hangs up immediately.
On Doncic, you do. No, on Doncic, you definitely do. He's young.
You should.
He's the best. Like, there's nobody better than him.
But remember, Atlanta traded him to get Trae Young.
Yeah, but they didn't know how good he was.
I would agree with
that. At that point, he was the third pick in the draft, so they didn't know that he was going to be this dominant, certainly right away. And Trae Young's turned out to be a great player, too. Like, Trae Young is, at least it wasn't like a huge whiff, like a trade, which you see on draft nights often.
It wasn't trading the number one pick to go get Markel Fultz. Imagine if that went down here.
Yeah.
Imagine if we were on the other end of that.
Danny would be gone. Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway. That GM, what was that, Billy King at that time? It was making that. I'm trying to remember who the GM would have been there. Who? I mean, that if there ain't anything that's getting you fired more than that, then I don't know what is. But there is all the Damian Lillard and Bradley Beal talk, as we know, are still out there. And then there is something that our friend Brian Robb of Mass Live just wrote about a little while ago. I know you're a big fan of the trade exceptions, Keith.
Oh, I love them.
There's still $11 million left over for the trade exception for one Gordon Hayward. And if we got into like the mind-numbing schlock of the breakdown of the cap,
it is
so not easy to use that $11 million, because if you do certain things, then it triggers like a hard cap the next year, and it's so complicated.
Yeah, I think great article by B-Rob to explain it to everybody, but I could boil it down by saying they ain't going to use it. Don't you think? It's very unlikely that they use it.
Well, you got to do it in these sign and trades, and then you got tax apron, and you got to have a match.
It's nonsense, because they have so many guys already. They're already in the luxury tax. And so, as he points out, they make it much more difficult for a player, because what they're saying is you have $11 million left over from Gordon Hayward's trade exception. 17 went to Evan Fournier. It was 28, so there you go. You have 11 million left over.
Right.
But teams that are over the cap, it's very difficult to acquire a player in a sign and trade. And that's what you'd have to do. You have to bird right, sign and trade, all that crap. So, and then you'd have to have another team that would agree to do it. You'd probably have to kick them something. The whole thing just seems, even aside from it just being complicated, I just don't know if they get it done. And that's why I was really surprised that so many people were satisfied with Gordon Hayward going to Charlotte and them getting this big trade exception. I'm like, there's no guarantee you use it. Miles Turner, Doug McDermott. I'll go back to that one once again.
That non-trade will live in infamy forever for those who remember.
It's a great what if, and those two would have been better than half a year Evan Fournier. And guess what? That might be all that it is.
Right.
Because there's no guarantee that you re-sign Evan Fournier. So you have half a year Evan Fournier, and that's why you said use it at the time, and then you're like, all right, you take it into the season. So then it was like, all right, use all of it then. during the year. Maybe you bring in Vucevic or Aaron Gordon or something and use it all then with the Magic. They didn't. They punt it to the offseason. They have until August. They have two more months. Yeah, I don't think they use it. And if they do, I don't think it's going to be very overwhelming by any means.
I do have a potential scenario for you coming up. Yeah. Hey, your routine is changing, but listening to us doesn't have to. You can listen to us at WEEI.com, on the Odyssey app, tell your smart speakers to play WEEI, or you can watch us on Twitch, WEEI.com/watch. Let's get some money!
Another typical cash giveaway. Here's this hour's code word on WEEI.
You can make fun of the contest, or you could get this hour's code word. It is late. This hour's code word is late. Text late to 72881. That's 72881 now for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Message and data rates apply. Don't text and drive, people. We got more of that coming up in the noontime hour. Hey, listen, man, people can make fun of the contest all they want. You don't want a grand? Then fine.
I saw Shime running down the word.
Oh.
Is he eligible? I saw him running down.
No, that's how you lose jobs in this industry.
There might be a workaround there.
Can
Who
he work
knows?
Around that?
It might be.
He comes in with a mustache? Yes, my name is.
Yeah. I'm
Christoph's.
I'm Yabby Slime.
Is Charles Shimington?
I'm Yabby Valentine.
You're like, all right,
flip the name around.
You know the code word. You're good.
Okay, let me present a scenario for you, though.
All right, I'm all ears.
Because I am looking at the Celtic salaries for next year in this article from our buddy Brian Robb. If you added $11 million to the $26.8 million that Jaylen Brown is making, that would jack that up to $37.8 million. Would that three first-round picks and a sweetener be enough to spring Damian Lillard from Portland? Because you got to get to that whole 80% match deal.
So three first-round picks and who?
Jaylen Brown.
Oh, I thought you said Tatum. Okay, so no. Okay.
Jaylen Brown at 26.8.
Yeah.
The trade exception, so that gets you to just under $38 million. And if you trade this year's first-round pick, by the way, that has a cap hold of over $3 million. So could you do Brown, exception, young player, first-round picks, here's Damian Lillard, and you still have Kemba and Tatum, and you still have Marcus Smart.
Yeah, I would trade anything besides Tatum for Lillard. So whatever you were about to say, as long as Tatum wasn't in it, I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They want three first-round picks, you got three first-round picks. You want Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, take them both. You like Peyton Pritchard because he's from Oregon? Take him. Want Time Lord? Take him. You want any of these guys?
Now you're getting to the point if you're going to throw in another player.
I bet they would like Pritchard. And then you say, obviously you're not going to take nine guys. They wouldn't want nine guys. But say, take Romeo Langford or Aaron Nesmith. You know, take this pick or we can pick swap and we can do all this stuff and make it happen.
But if you can do with keeping Marcus Smart, that would be something. Because that's where.
I'm not even sold that I need to keep Marcus Smart.
Maybe so,
not.
But they also don't need to trade everything in one deal. That's sad. Like I'm trying to figure out.
Oh yeah. Oh right.
The way
spin
for them
somewhere else.
One player, the exception, and Peyton Pritchard making $2.1 million. Fine.
Yeah.
Throw that in there, and maybe that ends up saving you a first round pick or something like that. You can make it work in terms of getting the money together or making it work from a salary cap standpoint to get Damian Lillard. But that would also require ownership to then pay above and beyond.
Yeah, but I just did trade machine Damian Lillard for Jaylen Brown and Peyton Pritchard, and that works because it's close enough and like
interesting.
So that alone works. So then you just throw in a bunch of first round picks and all that other stuff. Now again, Portland might have a guy or two based on their contract that they want to give you, and you can
get into the game,
and minutia.
Right.
But if it's highlighted by Lillard for Brown and Pritchard, I do that in a. Second, I don't know why Portland would do it outside of Lillard kicking down the door and saying, you need to trade me.
Well, and the other part of it might be, what is out there for them? When you think of it from the Portland end, right? We know they have the best asset, but who would be that player? Like, if you're in Portland, you're at least getting excited for Jaylen Brown because he's young and he's projected to be a superstar, handles himself the right way, yada, yada.
So a player that I know you don't like, and it really, I would say, is pretty polarizing across the league, but it's like when we were talking about James Harden before, mm-hmm. and who was going to be involved in trade. What about Ben Simmons? Because if you put Damian Lillard on the Sixers, I would say, look the hell out. I would say that would be a terrifying team. And now you start with Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Lillard, for anybody outside of the other top seven players in the league, you have to include more. So it's first-round picks or other pieces. But basically, if you're Boston, you want to get Lillard while keeping Tatum. And if you're Philly, you want to get Lillard while keeping Embiid. Everything else should be on the table.
And if I'm Portland,
I'd rather have Brown than Simmons, I think, at this point.
Of course.
2 years ago, I never would have thought I would have said, but at
Simmons
this point,
is very flawed. He's a Porzingis type player in that
Porzingis
really should be an inside guy, but he wants to stand outside and dribble and shoot threes. And Ben Simmons, it's the same
doesn't want to shoot threes.
He's the other way, but he also doesn't want to go inside either.
He's weird. Yeah, because you foul him and he can't make a free throw.
But that got me thinking.
But he's a young guy. He's a young all-star already. So that's what they have to trade. Lillard,
right.
You have to get if you're trading Lillard, you're getting a young all-star and a bunch of picks to hopefully draft another, all-star at that point. But so I don't know. That's the one I think to keep an eye on. And that's the other beauty of the NBA is there's no trade you can come up with that is like not worth discussing. I mean, I guess I kind of did that with Doncic, but you get my point. Guys move all the time, and all it takes is for somebody to say that they want out, and then they end up getting gone. And I think at least right now with Doncic is he loves Dallas. They asked him after the game, like, hey, you going to sign that max deal? And he kind of like had a big smile on his face. Like, yeah, what do you think?
He's like, yeah. I made all NBA, yes.
I think I just might. So, guys that are happy on the Supermax, they got to try to get a winner around him. But he's playing like an MVP. He's making the most money possible. So he's pretty happy. But somebody like Lillard, who just got bounced out of the first round for, the fourth time in the last 5 years? He might be ready to go somewhere.
At what point does he say, give me the hell out of here?
Mm-hmm.
No, I agree. And it's probably way cleaner to get Bradley Beal than it is Damian Lillard. But when you think of Walker, Tatum, Lillard, and I'm just saying if you just pulled out, say, Jaylen Brown and Peyton Pritchard and you had all the other stuff in there, if it's Walker, Tatum, Lillard, Smart, Thompson, Langford, Robert Williams.
So there's a little bit of a line there for me. Like, I think Damian Lillard is significantly better than Bradley Beal. So if you say, if Portland calls and like, hey, we're going to trade Lillard, I would say, all right, besides Tatum, whatever you want. Whereas with Beal, I'm not going to go crazy.
It's really Brown for him straight up, right?
It probably would be. And that's also the one that I think has a better chance of maybe kind of biting you in the back too. Whereas I know Lillard's older than Beal, but I think for the next 3 years, you are getting easily one of the 10 best players in basketball. Whereas with Beal, the guy's never been on a winning team.
Right.
Like, at least Lillard brought a team to the conference finals by himself a couple of years ago. But never happened with Beal. He's older than, they're all older than Jaylen Brown. And you could see Brown going to Washington and then just being a stud for a while. And you're like, oh, we sold out for 2 years of Beal.
Yeah.
Whereas with Lillard, I'm willing to make that commitment.
Who's staying up to watch Jaylen Brown?
So, yeah, Andy, he's in your conference and he's
10:30 on an East Coast night. Are you kidding me? Yeah. You might catch the first quarter and then that's it. But these are some of the scenarios that Brad Stevens has in front of him. And that $11 million, my gut feeling tells me that if they use that $11 million, it's going to, in terms of that trade exception with Gordon Hayward, that it will end up being something smaller in nature.
Yeah.
That it's you might be more likely to throw that in if someone really loves Marcus Smart and one of your young players to bring back someone that you think is going to end up fitting into whatever the new Celtics are going to be. But why not have the delusions of grandeur and at least allow ourselves to dream a little bit that if Jaylen Brown's going to make $26.8 million, add another $11 to it, can you go get yourself a $40 million a year player?
Well, I still think that, your best bet for a major shakeup is still centered around Jaylen Brown, like as you said, because and then the minor shakeup would be Marcus Smart. And then other than that, it's the same team because they don't have that real free agency space. The trade exception is very complicated. You'll have a over the tax mid-level exception to use, which is just under $6 million. So I think you're getting another Jeff Teague. Like, that's basically what you're going to get with that money.
And that is a little complicated because they did sign Tristan Thompson last year to what was like the taxpayer mid-level exception, $9 million. Yeah.
So, again, they don't have a lot of space. Like, they already have, 12 guys under contract?
I got looking
here.
They
basically have a roster already.
Walker, Tatum, Brown, Smart, Thompson, Langford, Rob Williams, Neesmith, Grant Williams, Peyton Pritchard, Carson Edwards, 16th pick, Jabari Parker, only $100,000 guarantee on $2.3 million if they want to bring him back.
Yeah, so it's about 12 because they can make a decision on Parker, and then obviously they don't have to take somebody with that pick. They can always trade it or whatever, you know. So that's basically an entire roster. So if Brad does want to change it up for the next coach, it's all about trades. It's not about free agency or even making decisions on your own free agents. I mean, your own free agents are Evan Fournier. I mean, murder Cornet, and, you know, semi, but basically Fournier is the only one you really need to make a real
decision. Well, right, and there's the decision on him. And if Tatum makes all NBA, his salary goes, this is insane. It goes from $28.1 million to $33.7 million. $5 million more.
Yeah.
Just because someone says you're all NBA.
Well, and in a few years, if he keeps making all NBA, he'll make $50 million
God
a year.
God almighty.
Or more.
And at some point, owners are going to be like, okay, we have to adjust this whole tax thing. Like, if you're going to jam that on us, then
yeah.
There's got to be some sort of sliding scale for them to be able to figure that out on the back end. It's 1120. Gretchen Keefe here with you on the WEEI Sports Radio Network and WEEI.com, also on the Odyssey app. According to Kevin Paul DuPont via Twitter, Bruins are practicing right now, and the Sway Man got the full load against the number one power play because the intelligence we were receiving from our ground sources were telling us that both Rask and Swayman were each in net, both on each end. They're just playing mind games now.
But it's Tuukka.
With the Islanders. You really think?
Well, DuPont saying Rask directly to the room after a group hug in the first one off the ice. Halak and Swayman remain taking shots from a few extras that are there.
Go ice your groin.
Yeah.
Go ice your hip. Here you go.
So Tuukka Rask will be in net tonight. I guess my question would be, is it like a quick hook because he's clearly hurt, or is it we're going with Tuukka? So my scenario is this. If they're down 4-2 in the third period again,
Swayman's going in.
Even with the season on the line
and maybe his career
on the line.
See,
if you're willing to start him, I say you just put him out there the whole time.
Yeah, this is so difficult because if we knew that it was a hip, a knee, a groin, a back, a muscle pull, does he have something that is, you know, a degenerative disease that he's, and I mean that in the context of like your labrum's fraying and it's only a matter of time before he's got to go get a surgery to be able to fix it. It's something he's been battling for a while. Like that nugget of intel would really, I think, in some way sort of help us figure our opinion out.
Yeah.
Because right now, it feels like it's 6 of 1 or half dozen of the other, right? It's like, okay, just pick somebody and have a plan afterwards.
Yeah, I just think, you know, we can only take what Cassidy has said, which is kind of hard to maneuver through what he means, but just the actions. They were down 4-2. It was 3 power play goals, and he's maintenance, and he's talking about how many games in a row that he's played. So it's pretty hurt. You know, other number one goalies are playing every other night. They can do that in the playoffs. And it's not like Tuukka had a full load during the regular season. He missed time due to, once again, injury also.
I think Varlamov will be in tonight. I don't think he's tired.
Yeah, I think there's a decent chance. So, yeah, but it sounds like Tuukka, so we will see. It's a monster game, potentially his last.
It is, and we will get into that a little bit later on, just in terms of the amount of guys and the amount of turnover that this roster could see. And we even discussed at the beginning of the playoffs, does a deep run ensure one set of decisions? Does a short run ensure another set of decisions? And then it's how much do these guys really want to get paid? The second line is really on notice tonight. Because we know that the Islanders with the last change are going to be able to match up differently against the Bergeron line. But the second line has got to show up on the score sheet. Not, hey, they played well and generated chances.
No, Taylor Hall,
That line needs to score tonight in a very big way. And they need Craig Smith zipping around and buzzing around as well. Quickly, because I know we got it on the sheet and we'll get to it a little bit later on. Jokic, MVP?
Yeah, I mean,
no shock.
That was definitely the guy that should have won. He was the best player this year.
Would you have put down pizza money on Jokic at the beginning of the year plus 2,500 to win the MVP? The longest odds to win it in 10 years since, of all people, Derek freaking Rose.
Pretty crazy.
Who, by the way, is still hanging around in the league with all his injuries.
Had a great year. Yeah, he had a great year, actually, on a surprise team. But no, Jokic definitely wouldn't have picked him preseason. But, I mean, it's not the biggest shock in the world when you really look at it. Wasn't he all first team All-NBA last year? Like,
right.
It's not like he came out of nowhere. He's been a really good player the last few few years.
I think it's more he didn't have, you know, 35 points a game or 15 rebounds a game. Like, all of his numbers were really, really good, but they weren't in accordance with the kind of guys and the numbers you're used to seeing in winning the NBA MVP.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers were still, he almost averaged a triple-double, and he's a center. And he shoots 39% from three, 87% from the line, and his team won a bunch of games even when Jamal Murray got hurt. So, yeah, he's the MVP.
And he looks like he'd clean out one of my wife's vending machines. Like, he is a doughy guy. It's crazy.
Yeah, he really is.
But yet he holds up, right? Like, you never
– yeah.
You don't see him really getting pushed around or anything like that. Doesn't, whenever he decides to mix it up underneath.
And he played in every single game this year.
What a novel concept.
I know, you're allowed to do that.
Wow. Yeah,
and NBA load management. Players.
Nope. Michael Jordan's going to give him a pat on the back. Way to go, kid.
Played in every single game. So, he deserved it.
Good for Jokic. I'm with you on that. And will Tatum ever be a true MVP contender? We'll get to that maybe a little bit later on. All right, it's time for Shime to Trend.
We're back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Bradfo Show. That's my open?
That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hit Bradford.
That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion.
Bradfo Show.
That's delicious.
It's time for the Midweek Clubhouse Report here with Gresh and Keefe. 11:32 is the time. We welcome in the chief cook, bottle washer, guy who runs it all. Nothing gets by him on WEEI.com unless his eyes have read it. At least we'll keep selling people that. Joins us on the Harbor One Hotline, our friend Rob Bradford. Hello, Rob. How are you?
If you say it, it must be true. So, absolutely.
That's right. That also means that you took the Thursday column away from John Anderson, and he'll never get over it. So.
I mean, I don't understand that. Honestly, John Anderson got so upset when Andy Gresh started writing a column on Thursdays. He said, "You took my day." By your day, John, you meant the day that you write every 5 weeks? I mean,
it was if something was hot, you know? Andy's
supposed to sit there and wait till you say, hey, I don't know if John's writing every fifth week, but, you know, just in case he does, I'll do it on Wednesdays. No. That's Andy's day. That's Andy's day.
You paid John $0 to write for the sites, Rob. So I don't really know how much you have to stand on here.
I don't know if you've ever heard of anything called exposure bucks.
I don't want any.
That's right.
His brand has never been hotter.
For this hit right now.
His brand has never been hotter.
Well, right. Tune in at 12:10, Rob. You have a chance
exposure
to win $1,000.
Exposure bucks and death threats is what Tyler and I get.
No, Tyler writes hot fire to get death threats.
Yeah, that's true.
John gets made fun of about his issues, but we'll leave that for another time. By the way, it is official. Tuukka Rask will be a net tonight for the Bruins.
Yes.
But we are here to talk baseball. Wow. What, you got some money on the game? quite a reaction there, Bradford.
I figure off of Will Fleming's intro to the big Celtics press conference last week that I want to integrate another sport as well.
Get his hockey takes.
Rob, why does the bottom part of this lineup suck?
Because they don't hit the ball. The glorious game of baseball means if you're successful, you have to hit the ball, and they are not hitting the ball. But Bobby Dalbec is at, let's say, the number nine hitter. He is not hitting the baseball, as we said before. And this is a problem, as I wrote today. I think that when you look at what this team needs, it's a fun game to play heading the trade deadline. What are they going to trade for? And everything on this team, you can say, well, they have Jaren Duran coming. They have Chris Sale coming. You can even say they have Ryan Brazier coming, or the bullpen's pitching better. But right now, as we sit here, it has to be first base, a guy that can help that aforementioned bottom of the order. And because Bobby Dalbec, great guy, on the live BP show, you know, this, I think, has a lot of potential, hit spring training home runs, but right now is not the answer to that.
Who do you think is the ideal leadoff hitter on this team? Or is it one of those things where it's matchup-based and all that? Because it doesn't seem like anybody's really taken over that role.
So Cora crapped on my idea a couple days ago. which was, I said, have you ever entertained the idea, which is a nice way of saying this is what I want.
Right.
Have you ever entertained the idea of Hunter Renfro hitting leadoff? And he's like,
Hunter Renfro?
Gave me the, hold on, let me hear
Sorry, now I'm just guessing that was his response.
Yeah, throwing a Zoom stink eye
Got
along
it.
With it, right?
Got
okay.
It.
So, no, he's like, you know, we need someone to protect Rafael Devers. That's not happening. But my point is that if you don't have a prototypical perfect leadoff hitter, which they don't, no matter who you put there, then get the guy who's the hottest hitter at the time and give him that one extra at bat. And his swings and misses were down. He had the best on-base percentage of any guy in the lineup for the month. So I'm just trying to think outside the box. But they don't have a good answer. They don't have a good answer to the entire team. Arroyo, fine, great, super, excellent. I mean, it's as good as any because you don't have a good answer across the board.
It's the Midweek Clubhouse Report. Rob Bradford of WEEI.com with us. He's on the Harbor One Hotline, of course, host of the Live BP Show with Steve Peralt. Saturday is right here on WEEI and the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Chris Sale is apparently, Rob, getting closer. Chaim Bloom seemed giddy in a little interview with Nesson yesterday at the thought of Chris Sale maybe coming back. What do you make of all this?
Everyone's getting the tingles, aren't they, about Chris Sale?
Feeling sexy.
Oh, my goodness. Well played. I had put July 17th. I had put that on the big board, which we have to get a Chris Sale big board, by the way, when he's coming
back.
Obviously.
Sorry, it's littered with who will be the Patriots' third and fourth quarterbacks this year. Yeah, so you might have to buy a new easel and board to get that in here.
My answer is Chris Sale. But I said July 17th. That might be a little bit aggressive, but the point is that he feels great and he's progressing. I mean, it's been 15 months since you had that Tommy John surgery, and he had the neck thing, he had COVID, he had a couple other setbacks, but overall, I mean, they have to be pretty happy with how everything's going. And by the way, the quote from him yesterday said, I feel like I'm a kid again, or something along those lines. I'm throwing like I'm a kid again, which is like, who doesn't, isn't like, that's the best example, right? We all feel good when we're 8 years old and throwing. No one's having Tommy John surgery then. So he must be feeling pretty good. It's all trending in the right direction. The only question I have right now, which is a fun question, is how you have too many starters. What are you going to do with Chris Sale? Well, you know.
I think you make room.
That'll work itself out. Yeah.
And Rob, you might be right about 8-year-olds, but I believe a 10-year-old Henry Rowengartner had Tommy John surgery, and he could throw 96 after that.
The uptick in Tommy John surgeries after that movie was absolutely crazy.
I feel like he was pretty good. Pitchers are in the spotlight now, highlighted by Garrett Cole. We went over his great post-game press conference yesterday, which was absolutely hilarious, but most players, and I know Merlone's been all over this, or most pitchers, it feels like, are doing something. Opponents of the Red Sox, guys on the Red Sox, they're doing something with the ball that maybe they shouldn't be doing. Is this a huge deal for Major League Baseball, or what do you think's going to end up happening here?
Oh, I mean, I think baseball will probably botch it in some way. They're always chasing their tail. They're obviously well behind this. Everybody was doing it. I mean, the fact is that you listen to Garrett Cole, he should have just said, yes, you know, I've done it. Everybody does it. There's so many things on social media catching guys now. It's become basically the equivalent of a guy using steroids and injecting himself with a needle on the mound. I mean, it's like everybody knows. It's right. This isn't hiding from anything. And when Garrett Cole comes out and says that, and it's like, come on, just say it. No, it's no big deal. It really isn't, because we also know everybody is doing this. And it's just that Major League Baseball is all of a sudden deciding to crack down on it. But, you know, nothing, you say, is this a big deal? You know, I guess, because, you know, anytime you supposedly change the rules, I guess it is. But everybody's doing it. Everybody. Garrett Cole is just one of 1,000 guys who are doing this. Nothing has changed. And you know another part about this, guys, which I think amped it up, I've said this before, is that social media. I mean, if social media isn't around, because how many times do we see these little clips of guys? Oh, look, there he goes. He's swiping his finger in a glove or on his hat or whatever. It's just a 10-second clip, which if we didn't have social media, those things would come and go. This isn't Phil Niekro throwing the nail file out of the back of his pocket. I mean, this stuff is happening all the time.
Rob, where are the Red Sox going to find a first baseman?
Well, I tried to do that exercise of where do you find the first baseman? And so you have the guys internally, which is Danny Santana, Marwin Gonzalez, no thank you. You have Michael Chavis, who is still not defining himself as a guy who doesn't swing and miss a lot in AAA, probably no thank you. So you got to go out and get someone, and there's not a lot of guys. I tried to do that exercise. You know, you have guy Jesus Aguilar, who just came through here with the Marlins, Colin Moran of Pittsburgh. When they got Steve Pierce a couple years ago, it was, all right, you need a right-handed hitter hitting first baseman who can play half the time, and this guy is the perfect guy to do it. There's not a lot of guys out there who can do that. So, you know, I think for the time being, they're just going to run out Bobby Dalbec and hope that he, you know, gets on some type of run.
Rob Bradford is with us every other Wednesday here for the Clubhouse Report. It is either Rob or Will Fleming taking shots at each other, which we always love. Do you got a zinger real quick?
No, I mean, Will's trying really hard. He is trying really, really hard, and I appreciate that, you know? So it's
trying.
Yeah, I mean, let's right. So as long as you try hard, I mean, I'm not saying he's getting the job done, but he's trying really, really hard.
Doing his best.
Rob
Bradford,
well, the Thursday column in weeks now.
Oh, stop it. Rob Bradford at WEEI.com. Thank you, Rob. We always appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. I'll see you.
Hey, we have Red Sox tickets to give away tomorrow and Friday here with Gresham Keefe. Up next, an emergency madness off of one woman speaking about the COVID vaccine. This is as you'll hear it next.
More Gresham Keefe right now on WEEI.
Emergency madness time. Of course, Kiefer Madness, Tuesday, noon 30, and then the weekend review, Friday, noon 30. But, Gresh, you never know. I've always said you don't find the madness finds you.
Oh, baby.
And there's a lot of these stories out there. And, again, you know, vaccinations are out there, especially in the state of Massachusetts, doing a great job with the vaccines.
That's
but
right.
Not everybody is on board with this vaccine.
So,
right?
So Keith, what we have here is from the Ohio House of Representatives. So it's a state,
yes.
Right? So Ohio.
State of Ohio.
The House Health Committee was having a hearing. And up to the microphone at one of these, you know, public hearings came an anti-vaccine expert witness.
Here we go. Expert witness.
And the very beginning of this tells you probably a lot you need to know about the lady we are about to hear from.
Some of the information that I think had been discussed on your podcast related to EMF.
Let me stop you right there. As a proud podcast host, that is still a little loose when you're going with the as you've discussed on your podcast.
Right.
That's just like, it's just a taped conversation, right? Like I wrote in my blog. It's the same thing. It's like, all right, so this is... I don't know if that makes you an expert. There are a lot of podcast hosts out there. We are legion. There are millions of podcasts in the world today. So just because you said it on podcast, that's like, I was reading on the internet that's the same thing.
Exact same thing.
All right. So we already know there's an expert.
Some of the information that I think had been discussed on your podcast related to EMF frequencies.
That was a thought.
And it was because
we're all kind of hypothesizing. I mean, what is it that's actually being transmitted that's causing all of these things? Is it a combination of the protein, which now we're finding has a metal attached to it? I'm sure you've seen the pictures all over the internet.
Here we go. All over the internet.
All over the internet.
So my podcast, all over the internet. I'm sure you've seen the pictures. So this is the lady. We're not done there. There's more with her. Every Facebook meme that she has seen believes.
Because she don't even know what Reddit is.
No idea. Not going to go on there. Be like, oh, I saw it on Facebook. I didn't need to really track anything else
down. This 84-year-old woman from Chula Vista put something on her Facebook story.
Of people who've had these shots, and now they're magnetized.
So this woman is claiming that once you get your vaccine shot, you could be magnetized.
And I was wondering why Magneto was trending today on Twitter. I'm so like, oh,
I woke up scared because X-Men. Today is the first episode of Loki. So, and yes. I have had things spoiled for me by not watching it in the morning before. And I came in and Rich said he was concerned about this. And I said, don't worry. That's not why Magneto's trending.
Because, Crash, this is a big thing in the dork world, right? So Loki is a monster show that's coming out today.
Okay.
And the X-Men, which Magneto is a part of that X-Men universe, is merging with the Marvel universe. So you're like... But they haven't put Magneto in yet. We haven't seen Magneto in the MCU. So he was trending the same day Loki came out. So you're like, oh my God, this is it. No, no, no. It's just because he controls metals, just like this lady suggesting anybody who's been vaccinated can also do.
Yes.
So that is why Magneto is trending.
A combination of the protein, which now we're finding has a metal attached to it. I'm sure you've seen the pictures all over the internet of people who've had these shots and now they're magnetized. They can put a key on their forehead. It sticks. They can put spoons and forks all over them and they can stick.
I mean, here's what I want to do.
Who
has the longest, like, I think today is like my 14th day in terms of vaccinating.
The three of us got them around the similar time, right? Me, Shime, and
who
John.
Has
I
been,
think Shime's the longest.
I have been the longest.
Okay.
All right, we need to go to the...
He's got to be magnetized.
We got to go
here's
to
the thing.
All right, there you go, John.
So John has a...
His coffee mug.
It's full of coffee. So Shime, I want you to lean your head right over the soundboard. I'm going to hold it next to it.
That should stick right to him.
It sticks right to your forehead.
You should be able to actually just reach out and take it from him, Shime. If you're truly magnetized like Magneto, you'd be able to zip that right out of his hands.
Right? Can we make sure we get camera?
Do you have a cam
on Twitch?
Is it closed?
Probably the same gut cam can now be magnetism can.
Yeah.
Say, ready? 3, 2, 1.
Nope, that's
not
just magnetized.
Not magnetized.
You want to know something, though?
I do.
I had this trick. I think a lot of people have it where you can put a spoon on your nose.
Yeah.
That doesn't make you magnetized.
No, it does not.
And we can do it
doesn't.
Pre-vaccine, too.
Actually, you can do anything on the internet, by the way.
Yes, you can.
Some of these Photoshop wizards, incredible.
Unbelievable.
Do you know that the entire movie, you know Sin City, the Robert Rodriguez movie?
Of course.
Those actors were never even in the same room at the same time.
Oh,
they filmed the whole movie like
really?
That. They were never
technology
even
that good.
It's unbelievable.
Mickey Rourke never even met Elijah Wood, and he choked them out in a scene. They never even met.
However, this woman testifying thinks CGI is where you go to get like gas and a good sandwich in the afternoon.
By the way, good Montez Sweat quote today.
Sorry,
not to dismiss your line. It was a good line. Montez Sweat. I just saw this. So he's on the football team.
Okay.
And he's apparently also an anti-vaxxer, so it kind of goes in with this. So the team brought in vaccine experts. So not anti-vax experts like we're hearing from here in Ohio.
Not a podcaster.
But they brought in vaccine experts just to speak to the players.
Yeah.
Right, because I think with all these teams, you know, they want to hit a certain threshold and then they can have...
Right.
Like we're talking about the Red Sox. The Red Sox are the anti-vax team of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And so... he said, this is Montez Sweat. This is his quote just on the team bringing in the experts to speak to players. He says, quote, I'm not a fan of it at all. I won't get vaccinated until I get more facts. Again, why they're bringing in the expert. He was asked, why is he hesitant? He says, I haven't caught COVID yet, so I don't see me treating COVID until I actually get COVID.
Oh, my.
That's a real quote from a real football player.
A real football player.
All right, so back to this lady
and
in Ohio.
And this lady testifying, again, an anti-vaccine expert, isn't done yet.
No, and she's probably like, good for you, Montez Sweat. Good for you.
And put a key on their forehead. It sticks. They can put spoons and forks all over them, and they can stick. Because now we think that there's a metal piece to that. There's been people who've long suspected that there was some sort of an interface, yet to be defined, an interface between what's being injected in these shots and all of the 5G towers.
So now we're on to the 5G towers also.
I think she is insinuating that, like, if you go to get an MRI and they inject you with the dye so they could take the picture, right?
Yes.
So that you could see the MRI and be able to... So this lady now thinks... That I guess there's going to be like cell phones ringing in her head, or that she's all of a sudden going to be walking down the street and like her eyes going to see a text message that's going to come in because it's all this stuff with the 5G network.
That is the way.
Apparently, there's some interface, so maybe AT&T can reprogram this woman to not be such a big idiot.
Would that be so bad though? You don't even need to hold your phone anymore. You become your phone.
That's
great. Are now the robots.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want. Is my T-shirt changing pictures of everything I'm looking at on Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that? Right?
This is supposed to be. I got hacked.
I really want
I got hacked.
I want to put this out there.
between what's being injected in these shots and all of the 5G towers. Not proven yet.
Very important.
Not proven should yet.
Should have led with that. I would have.
Well, she is a podcaster, mind you.
That's like the name of her podcast?
Not proven yet.
I'd listen to that.
Now,
I listen to that.
I'm going to retweet this right now. So for those who are following me on Twitter, at TheRealGresh, G-R-E-S-H, you'll see it. I just put it out there. I want you to watch the 52 seconds of this video only so you can see the reaction of the people behind this woman. Because John and I watched this morning.
Fantastic.
And the first thing he started saying is, look at that woman in the back laughing. Look at that guy. Yeah. Look at the other dude who's not even moving. Like, the reactions of some of these people range between laughter and just amazed bewilderment that this
there
woman
gets.
There are
a few people
speak.
Nodding along to her, though. They're well, like, that's a great point.
Yeah, there's always a couple. Well, they're podcast listeners.
Well, I was like this lady.
The library blocked my password.
Remember that lady?
Then the
people
behind
her. That was in the
middle
of a zoning.
This is for the Portillo's. On 63rd. Well, I live on 64th or whatever. You're like, okay, lady.
And all of the 5G towers. Not proven yet, but no. We're trying to figure out what is it that's being transmitted to these unvaccinated people.
This woman still hides under our desk whenever there's a tornado or a bomb threat like we were taught in the early days of elementary school.
Yeah, I would say so.
So that required an emergency madness because that was something.
Fantastic.
Well, I don't like Facebook.
Okay. Too complicated.
Man, we're discussing the rezoning for the Portillo's. Do you have any comments on that?
For what?
Imagine that.
One of my favorite ladies ever.
Imagine that lady aged out of Facebook.
Yeah.
How old do you have to be to age out of Facebook?
I know. That's it.
We're discussing the rezoning on 53rd for...
Well, I live on 63rd.
Okay.
Close enough. There's a 5G tower. I walked down my road. I got silverware sticking to my face. I can't figure it out, sir.
Step right up.
The library blocked my password.
They wouldn't do that.
Now tell me, does that make any sense to you?
No, it really doesn't.
I gotta tell you, if I knew that things are gonna stick to people that were metal, I think be walking around with pans left and right, just throwing them in the air and watching somebody walk right into them.
Make sure you don't touch the outside of your car. You might burn up.
Good point.
This is what Wiggy said. He wanted to be magnetized, and the first thing I thought of is, how are you gonna open your car door?
You gotta be able to control it somehow.
You gotta get the butterfly doors.
Yeah, you gotta
be rich.
Mrs. Wiggs riding down the road in the giant Escalade, and there's Wiggy stuck to the side of it, doing 90 miles an hour.
Right up against the grill like one of those teddy bears.
It would have some pitfalls.
Put him,
obviously.
That's right. Put him on the grill. Hey, like, dress him up in a Christmas outfit, right? 4th of July, wrap him in a flag, slap him on the front bumper, drive right down the road.
It's like Mad Max.
I mean, Hampton Beach would go crazy. Magnetic Wiggy stuck to the front of a car rolling in. That'd be awesome.
Not proven yet.
Not proven yet. Oh, dear Lord. Yep. And you wonder why sometimes Rich and I will make fun of people.
People are the worst.
There's your example. We head to the lunchtime hour with Gresh and Keefe. The latest updates on the Bruins. We know who's going to be in net. We'll tell you about it next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.